Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so glad that we can be gathered in your presence, and that during these few days we can be blessed as we hear you speaking to us, and also as we have fellowship with one another. Thank you for what you are doing in the lives of the brethren here in the Philippines, and we pray that you will continue to help them to be well grounded in the truth as revealed in the scriptures, and that they may each one be men of truth who deeply love you, know you, and properly equipped to serve you. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for the Spirit of God who leads us into all the truth. And we pray that even now you have the freedom to speak to us, to grant us insight into what you desire to communicate to us through the scriptures. We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the third related area, and the topic for this afternoon is the scriptures, be adequate and equipped. I pose the question, very important, relevant to each one of us. How can God's workmen be ready and properly equipped? We can summarize it in this way. Be men of truth, grounded in the truth, revealed in the scriptures. So this morning, I've considered with you how we can be men of truth. And how we can become men of truth, very important, we must learn how to be grounded in the truth as revealed in the scriptures. Many may claim they know the truth. And even Christians can also tell us things that they claim is the truth, but they may not necessarily be right. How can we ensure that we are properly grounded in the truth? God has given us the scriptures. And I want to spend time to consider with you this very important subject. First of all, it's helpful for us to recognize that the scriptures is the primary source for knowledge of God's revelation of truth, and is meant to train, correct, and equip the men of God so that we may be adequate and equipped for every good work. Note, primary source, not just one source, but it's a primary source for the knowledge of God's revelation of truth. Because God Himself has to work in our hearts, reveal Himself to us, this revelation of God. But truth, then the scriptures is a primary source. But God needs to speak to us to help us to understand the scriptures. And it's meant to train us, correct us, and equip us, that each one of us can become God's man, God's workman, adequate, equipped for every good work. This comes through very clearly in the scriptures, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God. So take note, it's all scripture. Not just portions here and there. And afterwards, I will go through with you this very important point that we need to read through and know the whole Bible and what the Bible teaches. Not just quote some verses, passages that appear to be saying something. And there are many teachings that are not very wholesome and sound, but they can support by referring to various verses in the scriptures. We'll consider this afterwards. So it's profitable for teaching, very important. If you want to be able to teach properly, then we need the scriptures for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So you see, as a moral direction. And the direction is so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That's why God gives us the scriptures. It's directly relevant to what we are considering. So at the heart of scriptural revelation of truth is actually the revelation of who God is. God may have revealed Himself to you, but there's so much that God wants us to know about Him that we have yet to know. And the primary revelation of the scriptures, at the heart of it, is actually the revelation of God Himself, of who He is. And then how can we know Him deeply? And how to relate deeply with Him, how to walk with Him, how to serve Him. This is at the heart of the purpose of the Scriptures. In our hearts, there must be a sincere desire to gain insight into the truth revealed in the Scriptures. First insight, and then absorb it, and then to live it out. You'll see that this will come through again and again as we read the Scriptures, and I'll come to these various aspects as we go along. But first, I want to emphasize that the Scriptures is a unique book. There's no other book on earth like it. It's one of its kind. Just as the Lord Jesus is unique, so likewise, the Scriptures is unique. Why do I say the Scriptures is unique? Take note that the Scriptures is the only book with content and teaching we can wholeheartedly receive and absorb into our hearts and live out our lives according to its teaching. There's no other book you can have that kind of confidence. But the Scriptures, yes. Why? Why is it we can have this kind of confidence to wholeheartedly receive whatever the Scriptures teaches? We must be clear about it. The reason is because the Scriptures is inspired by God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 just now, we saw all Scripture is inspired by God. So it is actually inspired by God for this purpose, for us to gain insight to the truth, absorb, they can become a part of our lives, so that we can rise up to God's high calling and His intentions for us. So the authority of the Scriptures rests on the authority of God. We need to be very clear about that. Not just people tell us, oh, believe in the Scriptures. Do we recognize the Scriptures inspired by God? If we do, then we submit to the Scriptures because we submit to God. But having recognized this, we need to take note of another point, very important and not so simple. And that is, we need to ensure sound, wholesome interpretation and application. And I will not stop at just making this statement. I will go into some detail how we can ensure this, what steps we can take. The Scriptures is there, it's teaching, it's always reliable. But it does not mean just reading the Scriptures or hearing other people talk about the Scriptures, preach on the Scriptures, then what we absorb will be all right. No. It can significantly damage our lives, distort our lives, and even lead us very far astray. The evil one can also use the Scriptures to lead us astray. Remember the temptation in Matthew chapter 4. The evil one quoted from the Scriptures. So what we are concerned about is the true teaching of the Scriptures, and that is, when you read the Scriptures, when you hear, what you must concentrate upon is try to understand what is God trying to teach us through the Scriptures. That is critical, and it needs to be sound, wholesome. There are various aspects of truth. You emphasize one area, you forget other aspects. It is not wholesome. The truth of God is wholesome because God is wholesome. God is perfect, remember? So the Scriptures, what it teaches, is totally, absolutely reliable. But we need to interpret it accurately, and then after that, how to apply it. So don't too quickly go to application. You must first understand what is the actual, accurate teaching of the Scriptures. We noted God is the foundational basis for our lives, and to deepen our relationship with God, we must learn to hunger and thirst for God. But hunger and thirst for God must go together with hunger and thirst for spiritual insight into the truth and God's revelation. I mentioned this morning, you say you love God, but you have no hunger, no thirst for the truth, no longing for the truth. It is not real. God is the God of truth, and especially what He has revealed in the Scriptures. We love Him, there must be this longing in our hearts to understand, to gain insight into the Scriptures. There are many verses in this direction. I'll just refer to some of them as we go along. Psalm 119, verse 18 and verse 20. The psalmist wrote, "Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law." So the psalmist recognized there are wonderful things in the law, and that is God's revelation, God's teaching. Old Testament times, the law. For us today, we have the whole Bible. And the psalmist He knows. He himself, by himself, he cannot understand the scriptures accurately. He cannot have spiritual insight. God needs to open his eyes. The Spirit of God will open our hearts, open our eyes to understand. Verse 20, my soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. Crushed with longing. Soul is from the depths of our hearts, from deep within us, crushed with longing, a deep longing to know the truth as revealed in the scriptures because it's so important. And not at all times. Not sometimes. So sometimes we feel very strongly, we want to know the scriptures, but other times, not interested. It's not like that. It's all the time because we know why the scriptures is important, and I'll elaborate on this as we go along. So the thirst and hunger for spiritual insight into God's revelation, very important, but this must go together with something else, and that is the determination to absorb the truth we've come to understand. Without this second part, it's no use. And also, God will not reveal very much to you after a while. Because God knows your heart. You want to know, but you're not prepared to absorb it. You're not prepared to live it out. You're not prepared to allow it to mold your life. So there must be a determination to absorb the truth we've come in to understand, to absorb it into our heart, and then reflected in our lives. Psalm 119 again, there are many verses in this long psalm, very, very rich in meaning. Verses 33 to 35, I'll just quickly run through. All these are very rich verses. The psalmist cried out to God, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. He wants to be taught. But then he goes on to say, and I shall observe it to the end. Yes, you want to be taught, but will you observe it? If your heart's attitude is like that, God will teach you. And he says, observe it to the end. You will not waver. You will not be deterred. Whatever comes your way. And God will strengthen you. He will help you. Whatever God desires of you, you can live it out. Not on your own. God will help you. But you must be willing for God to work in you, work through you. You must look to God, cry out to him, depend on him. Verse 34, give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. He wants understanding. Do you want to understand spiritual insight? Then the second part must follow. The reason why you want to understand the truth in the scripture is because that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. No reservations. As I mentioned, this is the only book you can have this attitude. No other book you can have this. It's dangerous to have this kind of attitude towards any other book. This is the only one whereby you can keep it with all your heart. Main thing, as I said, be accurate in your understanding of what it teaches. 35, verse 35, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Yes, the path may be difficult, but when you absorb the truth, you walk in it, you must delight in it because you recognize the will of God is perfect. Remember last night? It's good for you. It's for your well-being. In it, you'll find true joy, peace, fulfillment. So you delight in the law of the Lord. You delight in God's teaching. Psalm 119, verses 20, verse 127 to 131. Same direction. Verse 127. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold. Yes, above fine gold. It's so precious to us. Verse 128. Therefore, I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. There's a recognition that God's teachings is always right. And it concerns everything that the Bible teaches. But the Bible doesn't teach us about everything like how to cook a meal, how to repair a car. But all that it teaches you, you can be assured. It is right. Because it comes together with the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God in it. Verse 129 again, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul observes them. Why do you obey the laws of God? Why do you obey the teachings of God? Because you know they are wonderful. They are good. The perfect will of God. Verse 130, the unfolding of your words gives light. Here, there's a point to take note. There needs to be unfolding of the word of the Lord. Sometimes when we read, it may not be very obvious to us what it means. So God needs to unfold the truth to us. The unfolding of your words gives light. Then we can walk. And we can then walk in the light and have deep fellowship with God. So we need to pray to God to open up the truth to us. And if we have difficulty, we'll see afterwards, God raises up people who will help us that we can gain insight. So this unfolding of the truth in the scriptures, very important. The scriptures in itself, if the truths are not brought forth to us, it doesn't help us. Some people are a bit superstitious. They think they love the scriptures so much, they want to be protected against evil. They keep the scriptures by the bed and maybe even very, very close to them. When they sleep, you'll protect them. The Bible in itself, the words there, it has no spiritual power and life and protection for you. But it's the truth. And when the Spirit of God brings the truth to us, when God is at work, through the truth that we come to understand, we absorb, yes, we can fight the good fight of faith. That's the way to go about it. Not by relying just on the Bible by our side. The truth must be unfolded, absorbed into our hearts and lives. Verse 131, I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. This is in line with what I mentioned, this deep longing. You open your mouth wide. This is not physical. You open your mouth big, big. It's not really helpful to understanding the scriptures. But this opening my mouth wide and panted is, I long for your commandments, is an expression that the psalmist, he longs to know the truth. And that should be the attitude of our heart. So what God desires to teach us, whatever He wants to communicate to us, is always truth. Bear in mind truth as explained this morning. There's a positive spiritual dimension, direction, is meant to help us to live effectively as God's children, how we ought to live and conduct ourselves in God's kingdom. And what God desires to communicate to us, teach us in the scriptures, is a positive moral content and direction, and is of enduring value. This is true of all the teachings of the scriptures. We see this reflected in Psalm 119, verse 160. The sum of your word is truth. And every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. So what God desires to communicate to us, His word, is truth. And notice the truth is related to righteous. Every one of your righteous ordinances is a moral direction to it. There's a moral content in it. And is everlasting. What God wants to teach us, it has eternal significance, and it will still be relevant when we go to heaven. That I'm talking about the moral, spiritual dimension. Because the moral, spiritual dimension we absorb, remember I mentioned, it is related to how we should live in God's kingdom. And eternity, what is that? It is still God's kingdom. So the truths that you study now have eternal significance. You see, now you study many things. And you learn many skills. But many of these things, once you go eternity, they are no longer relevant and valid in the way they are for earth. I'm not saying that children should not study hard for exams. You know, you have children. No, there's a place for that. But we spend so much time, energy, acquiring many skills, learning many things. And now we are living in the information age. There's so much information available. There's a place to understand things. But the truths in the scriptures are of eternal value. What we learn. So Psalm 119 itself is very helpful. If you spend time to read, reflect, look to the Lord. It has a lot to teach us on this subject we are considering. But I now want to just draw attention to how the psalmist introduced this whole psalm. And the words that introduces this psalm can motivate us. What is that? We want to be blessed. But how can we be truly blessed? Psalm 119 tells us, when we seek God with all our heart and we walk in His righteous ways. Psalm 119, verses 1 to 3. How blessed are those whose way is blameless. Not just blessed. Many of us receive some blessings, but the how blessed that it is very rich blessings. Are those whose way is blameless. See again the moral aspect. Our lives needs to move in the direction of moral purity. And how does that come about? Walking in the law of the Lord. The Lord's teachings in the scriptures. Again, how blessed. Who? Those who observe His testimonies. You know, you absorb, you observe, you live it out. But together with that, it must go together with who seek Him with all their heart. You cannot know the scriptures, become a man of truth, without at the same time seeking God, deepening your relationship with Him. They all go together. Remember I mentioned all the major areas of truth, they all go together. If not, something is wrong somewhere in your understanding. They seek Him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. Again, the moral aspect. They walk in His ways. In the ways of God is light in truth, no unrighteousness. So I'll elaborate a little on why is the script so important to believers. It is grounded in what I mentioned just now. The scriptures is inspired by God. But I want to elaborate a little on this. We emphasize the importance, we've seen the importance of deepening our relationship with God, our knowledge of God. How do we go about it? If we want to deepen as well as widen both depth as well as width of our knowledge of God and truth, then we must pay not just attention but much attention to the scriptures, because it is the primary source of clear, reliable revelation of who God is and what He desires to communicate to us. But you may ask, legitimate question, what about God revealing Himself directly to us in our hearts and communicating the truth to our hearts? Can God do that? Sure, God can. He can reveal Himself to us, He can speak to us in our hearts. And is that meaningful? Yes. Is that possible? Yes. Can we say, is that not an important source of revelation of who God is and what He desires to say to us? Is that not important? We have to answer yes. That's why I say to be wholesome, we need to bear in mind different areas of angles of truth. God revealing Himself to us, speaking to us is very important. He's a living God, our relationship with Him. But take note. It is only through the scriptures that God reveals to us an inexhaustible wealth of knowledge of all the various major areas of truth I've listed and many more. God doesn't speak directly to us and reveal to us in all its clarity, all these various aspects. And I emphasize, inexhaustible wealth of knowledge. And I just list some examples. And these are, you know, although there are some examples, these are major areas of truth. And the scriptures, we can continue to study, and there's so much. It's impossible to fully comprehend. There's a lot of wealth there. So, major area is God, His attributes, His character, His ways. God can continue to reveal all this to us. Why God created man? Very important. You need to know why God created man. What are His intentions for man? And what does He require of man? Not just in a few words, but all the richness of truth there is to this whole subject. And what has been in God's heart in relation to the outworking fulfillment of His purposes. And even right before the foundation of the world, God already has His plans and purposes. He revealed all this to us in the scriptures. If you want to live your life well, then you need to know why God created you. Why God created us. How can we participate in the unfolding of His purposes? And things do not just happen automatically. Our attitude, our response, and how we work out together with God is critical. There are so many things that are going on that grieve the heart of God. There are so many things that ought to go on that God wants to take place, but because His children are not responding well, so they are not moving well. All the exhortations in the scriptures is meant to help us to rise up and fulfill well God's calling, God's purposes. So we know the scriptures reveal to us the plight of man. But how serious is the plight of man? Do we fully appreciate? And then God's salvation plan for us in Christ, which is not just forgiveness of sins. There's a whole lot. This word salvation, the scriptures, is a very rich word. Deliverance of sin, yes, but it goes on to all that God intends for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll come more to this in a subsequent message on Christ. Spiritual warfare, very important to understand, recognize, and also how to fight the good fight of faith. It's going on all the time. Do we understand the wiles of evil, how to take our stand, how to fight the good fight of faith? Then the importance of moral and spiritual stature, which is also an aspect that I'm burdened about. Very important to God, very important to our working of God's purposes, but it's also an area that many do not pay adequate attention. What does it mean? How to nurture, and its implications for effectiveness in service. Then God's provision, many major areas. Provision of Christ, very, very important to understand, appreciate. The Holy Spirit, the Scriptures itself. Then a very important area, the role of the church. God has not called us just to serve Him at a personal level, but together in the expression of body life. And then, not just, okay, God has called you, so church life very important. Then we start going about thinking of how best to serve God and how to work out body life. No, the Scriptures has very important principle to communicate to us how church life ought to function. And this is an area of truth, very, very important to seek to understand in a wholesome way and then to work it out. And a very important subject, the kingdom of God. I covered this to some degree in the Two Kingdoms. In the book, The Two Kingdoms. And there are many moral and spiritual principles that are important for us to know so that we can fare well in this fallen world. You know, the spiritual realm, in the physical realm, we study physics, chemistry. There are various laws, principles. Likewise, in the spiritual realm, it's just the spiritual realm, the principles in the spiritual realm are much more important than the physical laws. Scientists spend so much time to study all these things at a physical level. But what about us? The spiritual laws and principles, do we understand them? Do we recognize them? The Scriptures will help us understand, but we need to learn them together with God and through daily life situations, everyday situations. There's a lot that God wants to teach us. And when we learn them, we begin to understand what is happening. We begin to know how to respond, including fight the good fight of faith, but not only that, how to cooperate with God, how to understand people, how to perceive what is going on, how to recognize what is really important and what is not. I preached many messages, a whole long series on appearance and reality. And many are preoccupied with appearance or wrongly conclude on the basis of outward appearance of things. But God is concerned about the reality. Do we know how to recognize reality? The Scriptures will help us. The Spirit of God will help us. So one major reason God has given us the Scriptures is to provide us with an objective basis for knowing the truth. This is very important to take note. I mentioned just now, God can speak to us. Can. And that's important. But many people say, God speak about me this, and others say, God speak me that. So many people are saying all kinds of things. How do you know whether it's true? How does the person even know whether he thinks God is speaking to him, but is it God speaking to him? Or is it the evil one deceiving him? Or is it that his own heart's inclination, so he thinks God is speaking to him? How do you know? How do you become clear? The Scriptures, extremely important for this. Objective basis for knowing the truth. So that those who live their lives on the basis of what the Scriptures teaches, they can be safeguarded from going astray because of deception by the evil one, wrong teaching, and also the vulnerability of the human heart and mind. Vulnerability meaning we easily falter. The human heart, the human mind, we easily falter. But the Scriptures can help us not to be led astray by wrong teaching, not be deceived by the evil one. And I will try to elaborate on some of these areas, how it can be so. But before I go on to that area, you may also ask, you say the Scriptures, God speak direct to us, we can be deceived, led astray. Scriptures, objective truth, we will then be in the truth. But you may ask, how about the evil one leading believers so that they go astray through wrong interpretation of the Scriptures? Can that happen? Yes. And this is a very major area that we need to pay a lot of attention. This is not only possible, it's happening all the time. And this area has created havoc in God's, in the universal church. Many, many major problems and complexities have arisen because of wrong interpretation, application of the Scriptures. So then how do we safeguard ourselves? This is not an easy subject. And to cover this properly will require many messages. I will just highlight some important aspects or some area I want to go into a bit more detail. But one thing we can bear in mind that will help us from going astray is first to recognize we can be wrong in our understanding of Scriptures, others can be wrong, and so we need to exercise care. That's very helpful. Exercise care in the way we interpret, the way we apply the Scriptures. we need to exercise care. But at the same time, it's also helpful to recognize that there's much in the scriptures that can be readily recognized by the careful, prayerful reader of the scriptures as a clear teaching of the scriptures. If your attitudes are right, your heart is in the right place, you're prayerful, you read the scriptures, you'll find that there are a lot of teachings in the scriptures are very clear. For example, God is perfect, God is wise, God is kind. All these are clear. What does God require you? Love God with all your heart. These are very important. Are they ambiguous? No, they are very clear. And so on. There's a lot that's very clear. Concentrate first on the very clear as you read. They are very clear. Absorb, leave it out. Those parts not so clear will slowly become clearer with passing time. So we first need to, and we ought to live our lives within the framework of the clear truths and principles. Don't violate the clear truths and principles. Very important. Especially the character of God. He's a moral God. He's a perfect God. Knowing God, who He is, summarized by the expression, the perfect God, and perfect in His will and ways and the truths He reveals. So live our lives within the framework of the clear truths and principles, and then we exercise care when we examine, when we interpret what we hear as well as what we read within the framework of these clear truths and principles. Even preaching, even what I preach, you examine. Is it contradictory to the clear truths and principles that you are aware of? Your own reading of the scriptures, ideas come to you. Some people think, wow, this is a novel way of understanding this Bible. How wonderful, I've seen fresh light. Does it contradict the clear truths in the scriptures? Be careful. This careful approach can, with passing time, as we develop it, it can also help us to discern truth from error. Together with that, we must recognize that it's the Spirit of God who inspired the scriptures. Appreciate the role of the Spirit of God. On our own, we cannot properly understand the truth or discern truth from error, but the Spirit of truth will guide us. So, as we nurture our relationship with God, we look to the Spirit of God to speak to us, to guide us, and the Spirit of God can indicate to us when our attitudes are good, that something is amiss. Somebody tells us what was mentioned just now, this is sweeping the world, be rich, prosperous, that is the mark of spiritual health. You pause for a while, you've been reading the scriptures, you may not have gone for theological training, but you sense something amiss. Is it like that? The Spirit of God can indicate to you something is wrong. Is it like that? But scripture passages can be quoted that may seem to point in that direction. But you recognize something is wrong, and there's a lot of false teaching that's going on that they can support from the scriptures, but it's not the accurate understanding, not the wholesome understanding of what the scriptures actually teach. So the Spirit of God grants us spiritual insight, helps us understand what God is saying to us, helps us to discern truth from error, and also how to apply what we have learned. So we must look to the Spirit of God at a personal level, and also to encourage the brethren, and together as a congregation, look to God to guide the whole congregation how to move. So personal level, corporate level. So what ought to be our approach to the scriptures? First, Joshua 1:18 communicates to us, consider prayerfully what God has revealed in the scriptures, and then live our lives accordingly. We need to be prayerful. So Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So this meditating on it day and night tells us, meditation here is prayerfully considering day and night. It means a lot to you, it's precious. You don't just read it once, twice, and you think you've understood it. And then after that, you must be careful to do according to what is written in it, after you've understood it. And then you'll make your way prosperous, then you will have a success. And we can live a successful life, and as I mentioned, as Christians, success is important, but it's success in the life of God's kingdom. The context there is the Lord instructing Joshua. And here, Israel was poised to enter the promised land. But the principle is applicable to all of us today, for personal as well as the corporate level. And if you read through the Old Testament, you find very striking. The history of Israel illustrates this area of truth. When the Israelites or her kings abided by the book of the law? Success and God's blessing. They depart from it. They fail to observe the laws. As revealed in the Old Testament, outcome is negative. It leads to ruin, personal level, and together as a whole nation. Then, if we look at Paul's instructions to Timothy, I'm glad my fellow brethren have been preaching from the book of Timothy. It's so rich in communicating to us very important truths. How to serve God well, and also this area of the approach to the truth and scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 has an important principle there. It involves two aspects. One is diligence, the other is accuracy. Be diligent. You want to be approved of God as a God's workman? We want God's approval. You must be diligent. Then the other, related to it, he says, who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. We need to recognize the word of truth, very precious, but we may not be handling it accurately. It's important to handle it accurately. And we must be diligent. Then God's approval, His blessings will come upon us. But the expression word of truth, it applies to what God reveals to us in scriptures. It also applies to what we think God is speaking to us as we go about in daily life. What God speaks to us is also the word of God in daily life. And God, as I mentioned, can speak to us through people, through situations, but we need to be careful that we understand accurately what is God speaking to us. But the most important is the appreciation of the scriptures accurately. So this area, to seek to understand, to absorb, to apply what God desires to teach us and communicate to us through the scriptures, believers generally, those who subscribe to the authority of scriptures, they will generally readily agree. But now I want to put forward to you for your careful consideration. I'm sure if I were to ask, maybe I just ask now, would you agree? We need to seek to understand, absorb, apply what God desires to teach us and communicate to us through the scriptures. Do you agree? Yes. I don't think any of you would disagree. But do you realize when you agree with this, there are important implications which very often believers violate? What are the implications? If you agree with that, then it means we must not superimpose our own ideas and inclinations in the way we understand the biblical text. Superimpose meaning, when we read the text, we have our own ideas, we have our own understanding, and then we read the text according to our own understanding. That is superimposing your own ideas. And we have different backgrounds, influences, we have all kinds of ideas. And certain things we hold very precious, and we read the Bible in a certain way. And this is also one of the reasons why there are so many different views. This is not all, but this is one aspect. How people read the text. They superimpose their own ideas onto the text. The other is the implication, we do not look for text to support our own ideas. This is again a common failure amongst Christians. You have your own ideas, and you say it's biblical. Why? You can give all the biblical support. Had that come about, you have your idea, then you go and look to the Bible for support. Various passages, verses. Can you do that? Can. Not difficult. Someone has said, maybe it's Martin Luther, you can practically support almost anything from the Bible. And many have supported all kinds of strange ideas from the Bible. But that is, you have your own idea and you look to the Bible verses and passages for support. Never do that. We must be careful not to allow our own ideas and inclinations to influence and contaminate accurate understanding. This is a bit different from superimpose and looking for texts to support ideas, but it's related. One you superimpose, the other you look for text to support. But here is that you allow it to contaminate. You're trying to understand, but your own ideas, your own contaminate means it alters the meaning. It changes the meaning. So the meaning is no longer pure. Yes, some semblance of the truth is there. You're still interpreting the text, but it has influenced, distorted the meaning of the text. So when we read the scriptures, it's important we do not come to the scriptures with our own ideas and then superimpose on the text. So we need to understand that we can be adversely affected in our understanding of the scriptures in all these different ways without even being conscious of it. And it is very common. What does that mean? That means we must deliberately look to God to free us from anything that will hinder us from a true, accurate, wholesome understanding of Scriptures and what God desires to say to us, which means deliberately look to God to help us to be free from preconceived notions, our own ideas, notions, personal biases, inclinations, or the views and opinions of men, even Christian men, and also the ways and the ideas of the world. You may say, of course, as Christians, we don't look to the world to guide us, but it is part of the sad state of affairs that many Christians, including Christian work, how we approach, how we go about doing things is affected by the ways of the world. Even to work out and accomplish God's work, we are so influenced by the ways of the world, how to achieve results, even at times violating the Scriptures and the importance of looking to God to guide, for we depend on the methods of the world, the ideas, the ways of the world. I want to emphasize that this approach I'm mentioning is a personal responsibility of every believer, not just for some special Christians. Every believer has this responsibility. We must seek to ensure what we receive into our hearts is indeed the teaching of the Scriptures, untainted in any way. This is what we have to ensure for ourselves. Absorb the truth, very important, but you must make sure first it's the truth before you absorb it. But does that mean we cannot learn and benefit from the understanding of others? Yes, we can. And not only that, it's very important we recognize there's much we can learn and benefit from the understanding of others. And this is very clearly scriptural teaching. God does want us to learn from one another and from the preaching and teaching of those whom God has raised up and equipped to fulfill their role for the well-being and growth of God's people. They are God's gifts to the church. God has granted, raised up preachers, teachers. It's for this purpose. Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints. These are God's gifts to the church. I referred to this last night. And it is to equip the saints for the work of service so that they can grow well in the Lord and can serve God well. And this will then lead to the building up of the body of Christ. It's very important. We learn and benefit from one another spiritually. However, we must make sure our reliance, our faith, rests on the truth God has revealed in the Scriptures and not on the views and understanding of men. We learn, we benefit from the understanding of others only to the degree we are satisfied they help us understand the true teaching of the Scriptures. Not just because they say this, they say that, so that means we absorb it and live it out. Even those we respect, we must still exercise care. But as I mentioned, there are those whom we have more confidence, there are those we are more wary, but we still have to examine on the basis of the Scriptures. So for this area to work out well, there are two important aspects that need to work out well, which are very important for all of you, especially many of you have spiritual responsibilities. One, the one who is communicating. The second is the one who is hearing or receiving. So I want to consider briefly, quickly, this important area of preaching and teaching, which I have actually covered in several messages, but here I can only go through very quickly. So the preacher and teacher, he must recognize if God has indeed called him, yes, even his true calling, he has a very heavy responsibility to preach and teach the truth. And if we teach what is not true or what is not wholesome, we face a stricter judgment and God will judge us and we may lead many others astray. So it's a heavy responsibility. So the earnestness with which the preacher teacher seeks to have a sound, accurate, wholesome understanding of the Scriptures is very important. So he must be earnest. His hunger and thirst for the truth and the meaning of his own personal walk with God, the richness of his walk with God, all these will have a significant bearing on the effectiveness of his ministry of the Word. So it's your responsibility for your own spiritual health as well as for the health of those you minister to that you nurture your spiritual life. That's why Paul told Timothy, we saw the verse, pay heed, pay attention to your own life and to your teaching. We saw this last night. It's in Paul's epistles to Timothy. And he then must exercise care that what he teaches and preaches is accurate and wholesome. If you're not sure, don't communicate it as clear. Qualify it. From all they can understand, you think it's like that, you say. From all they can understand, and you give your reasons why. But if you put it as clear, make sure it is really clear. The responsibility is heavy. And then as much as it's feasible, you try to cover the whole counsel of God in a comprehensive and wholesome manner. Paul seeks to teach and communicate whatever is profitable and the whole purpose or the whole counsel of God. You can see this in Acts chapter 20. As important, the preacher-teacher, he must not be motivated by a desire to be popular. Many preachers-teachers, they like to be popular. If you are motivated by popularity, it's a very serious deficiency. First, it's pride. The other, it will lead to big problem in the communication of the truth. This includes catering to what the hearers prefer to hear. Their preachers were influenced like that. What the hearers want to hear, they preach. They don't like to hear, you refrain. No. When we preach, we teach, we have a responsibility. We need to give an account to God. We are speaking on behalf of God. So we must preach and communicate what we believe God wants us to teach and communicate. We are not deterred by the response of the hearers. Some, when they preach, they teach, there's a lot of approval from the hearers. They are very happy. If they see frowns and all that, or they give negative, they receive feedback, we don't like to hear all this, then they feel very disheartened. No. Yes, do not be oblivious to whatever feedback you get. You don't care, no. You receive feedback, but in the end, you must steal from the feedback you receive. Try to understand, how does God look at it? That is what counts. But feedback sometimes can give you some indication of how your communication, is it coming through, is it relevant, is it helpful? To some degree, that is relevant. But ultimately, it's what God wants you to communicate. And are you communicating it effectively in the eyes of God? And some things are for long term. Some things when you speak, people straight away found very relevant, very edifying. And it's true, it's actually edifying. But it is not very significant. But there are deep truths, there are important things that God wants to be communicated for long term, which may not be easy for the hearers to grasp, to understand, but very important for them. We must seek to understand these things and communicate as the Lord desires of us. Then I come to the next point, which is very important. The preacher-teacher, his primary concentration on faithfully communicating what the Lord desires of him. Not only that, he must then go on. He ought to support his understanding of the truth from the scriptures. And he must show how he derives his understanding of truth from the scriptures. Both. Support his understanding from the scriptures. He does refer to scriptures. But not just refer. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 and so on. You show from the scriptures how you arrive at it. And in a way that the hearers can follow. You say in a way nobody understands what you are saying. It doesn't serve its purpose. Why do I say this is very important? It's very important because the true source of authority of what the preacher, teacher says is not himself. It is God. It must be God and what God has revealed in the scriptures. So the hearer or the reader must be able to satisfy himself that what he has been hearing is indeed the teaching of the scriptures and not merely the assertions of men, the preacher, teacher. So one, where is the true authority? Yes, there is secondary authority. But when it comes to truth, it is when we are clear it comes from God. It's a true teaching of the scriptures. Then it is, remember, totally reliable truth. From men it is fallible. But you must show from the scriptures. And there can be godly men who knows the truth, who communicate, it may be truth, but if they don't support it, then you do not know whether what they say is really accurate or not. And sometimes when they say accurate, sometimes not wholesome. What happens? Big problem. But when this is properly done, not only will it help us to recognize the true authority and have the confidence to receive the truth because it's a clear teaching of the scriptures, when it's properly done, the hearer will also be helped to grow not only his knowledge of the truth, what God desires to teach us, but also the proper basis for absorbing the truth into his heart, and also help to understand, to know how to interpret the scriptures, how to derive truths from the scriptures. Because the good preacher teacher shows them how it is done properly. So they learn. So in their own time with the Lord, as they read the scriptures, they learn how to interpret, how to receive, how to apply. And then they learn how to discern, to recognize when they read, when they hear what people say. And this is very important. Now, let's come to the good hearers. Very important to be a good hearer. So the good hearer is one who hungers and thirsts for God and for the truth. He's eager to learn. He wants to deepen his knowledge of God and truth because he wants to absorb them. He wants to live it out. And he will exercise care to ascertain whether what he has heard is indeed the teaching of the scriptures. He will exercise care. He will make sure. So when he recognizes what he has heard is indeed the truth, as we read the scriptures, he will receive, he will absorb the truth into his heart. In this regard, we can learn from the scriptural example how the scriptures commended the response of the people of Berea to the ministry of Paul and Silas, Acts 17, verses 10 to 12. Paul and Silas, they were in Berea, and the scriptures tells us in verse 11, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. And he tells us the reason. Why? For they received the word with great eagerness. So the eagerness for the truth. But not only that, examining the scriptures daily to say whether these things were so. Examining the scriptures, see whether it's so. And notice, here was Paul and Silas preaching, teaching. Even the preaching of the Apostle Paul needs to be examined. That is what the scriptures exhort us. How much more so the rest of us? So do not be afraid of people examining what you preach and teach. If people do that, you should be very glad. We are fallible. Only the true teaching of the scriptures, only God, the Spirit of truth, is infallible. But notice, as they do that, verse 12, therefore many of them believed. You have this kind of attitude, God will help you, and you can come to recognize the truth, and you believe. This is healthy faith. And if the people in Berea were commended, remember at that time, they had the Old Testament, but hardly of the New Testament. Maybe to some degree, but not the same as us today, we have the whole of the New Testament. They do not have the whole of the New Testament. So how much more so for us today? So the good hearer will exercise care not to receive or to be adversely influenced by anything that is unsound, unwholesome, or to absorb any wrong teaching into his heart. This is very important. Once you absorb wrong teaching into your heart, you will distort your life. And you also hinder truth from coming in because there's error inside. You will block the truth from coming in. So make sure, only truth absorb. But you say, when I hear, I'm not sure, then how? And the preacher or the book I read assert this is the truth, and if I don't receive it, then I'm disobedient to God. No. When you are not sure whether what you have heard is wholesome or accurate, do not immediately receive it into your heart. Wait for further study. Wait for a time when you are clear. When you are clear, receive it, absorb it. While you are not clear, don't. But yes, if you're conscious, so and so says this, I've heard this, but I'm still not clear. That is your responsibility. But it's important to take note that to be able to do this well, this whole approach, then you must read the scriptures for yourself. You must seek to understand the scriptures for yourself to the degree that is feasible in your context. Some context, they don't have access to the Bible and so on. Some people have great difficulty, they are handicapped and so on. But to the degree that is feasible in your context, and I can see all of you, you have the Bible. And all of you are able to read. So, you have no excuse. Read and seek to understand the scriptures for yourself. You need to seek to have a healthy familiarity with the whole Bible. Not just, yes, I've read the Bible. I know the Bible, here, there. And some people, when they read, they skip all over. They read their favorite books again and again. But many parts of the scriptures, some have never even read through the whole Bible once. Or maybe once or twice. But other than that, favorite passages, favorite books of the Bible. No. You need to have a healthy familiarity with the whole Bible. I'll come to why this is very important. In fact, straight away. Remember, just now I mentioned the whole Bible is inspired by God, and what we need to understand is the teaching of the whole Bible on any issue. And you need to be healthy from the whole Bible so that you can examine and see whether what you hear, what you read, is consistent with the teaching of the scriptures. And this is the teaching of the whole Bible. So where verses and passages are referred to, even to support what people say, you examine to see whether they have been properly interpreted and applied, or they're taken out of context, they do not actually support the point made. But how do you do that if you are not familiar with the whole Bible? So to have such a healthy familiarity of the whole Bible, it is needful to read through the whole Bible regularly, again and again and again, prayerfully. Old Testament, New Testament. I just suggest a reasonable number of chapters each day. You say 5 to 8 chapters. That's not a legalistic thing. Sometimes you're very busy, you read less. Sometimes you have more time, you read more. But on the whole, try to read about 5 to 8 chapters. Equal number of chapters from the Old Testament, New Testament, and maybe one summer day. Why I say equal chapters, you do that, you'll find you read through the New Testament more often. And that is good, because the New Testament, very important, we are under the New Covenant, easier to understand, and also very important truths, you'll help us to understand the Old Testament. But the Old Testament, very important, for the whole complete picture. There are so many chapters in the Bible. So you just read one or two chapters a day, and then you say, I ponder, I meditate. Then one, two chapters a day, how long will it take for you to read through the Bible even once? How can you be healthily familiar? When people quote the Bible here and there to support, how are you able to know whether it's out of context? But you say 5 to 8 chapters a day. Many of you may be reading much more than that. For those of you who have not, you may say, how to read 5 to 8 chapters? I'm so busy, this, that, and so on. It actually doesn't take much time to read through 5 to 8 chapters a day when you read through at a reasonable speed. So when I say 5 to 8 chapters, I'm talking about reasonable speed. So long as you know what you're reading. Don't just read so fast you know what you're reading. Don't count when your mind wanders you don't know what you're reading. But so long as you know what you're reading at a reasonable speed. This issue of pondering over what they mean and so on, they can take place after you've read your 5 to 8 chapters. And if you don't have enough time, some other time. You may want to, when you have time, you want to study various issues more for those other occasions. So substantial reading of scriptures in this way will help us understand the truth in the scriptures in a wholesome way for yourself, but it's also spiritual food, nourishment for your soul. And we need to be spiritually nourished so that we can grow well, and we will be spiritually nourished, we will grow when we absorb, appreciate the truth, pay heed to what God has to say, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. Putting aside all malice and all deceit, good attitude, sincerity, we come, like newborn babes, longing for the pure milk of the word. Here we know it's not literal milk, but it's just like the baby longing for milk, you long for the pure milk of the word, the truth, what God wants to communicate, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. So here also tells us, salvation, as I mentioned, is a whole big thing. But as you absorb the truth, it will help you to grow in respect to salvation. So do not get bogged down by passages you find difficult to understand. Something really you don't understand. So you pause, struggling with it. And as a result, you end up not finishing even one chapter. Don't get bogged down. Don't quite understand. Carry on. As I say, finish your 5 to 8 chapters first. The other is, over the years, I've come to recognize that there are some who are deterred from reading the scriptures at times when they feel very dry. These scriptures didn't seem to be alive, and they may feel hypocritical to carry on reading. No. That's where faith comes in. The main thing is, when you read the scriptures, do you recognize its importance? Do you come with sincerity, with this longing? If you do that, the Spirit of God will minister to you. You don't live by feelings. You live by conviction. This is a very important principle in all areas of your life, and especially when you come to the scriptures. So don't be deterred, don't stop reading substantially just because at times you feel dry. You feel dry doesn't mean you're not spiritually nourished. It does not mean you're not making progress in your understanding of the truth. So important to read the scriptures with a sincere longing to know the truth, to observe the truth, to hear what God is saying, to deepen in your knowledge of God, your relationship with God, because you want to walk in the truth, you want to live a life that honors and glorifies God. You want God's will to be fulfilled for your lives. Read the scriptures with this kind of longing attitude. You know I'm going a bit fast. Yeah, all your notes. Time is almost up. I have to go very fast. So heed the words of the Lord Jesus to the Sadducees. They hold wrong views on important doctrines. They do not believe in resurrection. What did the Lord Jesus tell them? Is this not the reason you are mistaken? That you do not understand or know the scriptures or the power of God. Two major areas, very important. Do you already know God? The power of God? The reality of God? The other is, do you know the scriptures? So the importance of personal knowledge of God, true understanding of the scriptures. And you will find, if you approach the scriptures as described by me just now, you'll find that with passing time, as you read the scriptures in this way, then more and more, your heart and your spirit will more and more become in line with the exhortations and teachings of scriptures, the thrust and the spirit and the meaning of it, as you read the scriptures prayerfully in this way. And more and more also, with passing time, you'll become more and more able to appreciate what God is seeking to communicate, to teach us through the scriptures. Especially the major areas of truth become clearer and clearer. The truths and the principles, with passing years, more and more they become clearer. The big picture, as well as specific issues, principles. And any issue, you need to understand what the whole Bible teaches on that point. There will be spiritual insight, spiritual refreshment, nourishment. And together with that, there will be growing depth of fellowship with God and identification with what is in the heart of God. So just in conclusion, refer you to a short passage, a beautiful passage that can help you to remember some of the important aspects we consider here in these messages. Because of time, I'll go through very quickly. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Here we see Martha welcomed the Lord Jesus. Mary was seated at the feet of the Lord Jesus, listening to his word. Martha was distracted with all her preparation and asking the Lord, do you not care? My sister has left me to do all the serving alone. Can't tell her to help me. Verse 41, the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Many believers are like Martha. We welcome the Lord into our lives, but we are worried, distracted, bothered by many things. And that includes legitimate things. What Martha was doing was not, it was legitimate. But we are distracted by even legitimate things we need to change. What can we learn from the words of commendation of the Lord regards to Mary? Know our priorities. If Mary all the time doesn't want to do housework because she doesn't like it and is part of her responsibility, then it's bad. But at that point in time, what was the priority? What was appropriate to concentrate upon in each context? There's a time and place for doing what Martha was doing. Learn from the example of Mary. She was seated at Lord's feet. At that point in time, it is crucial to pay attention to what the Lord Jesus is speaking. That is the priority at the point of time. So the picture here communicates to us a believer who deeply appreciates the Lord, eager to hear what the Lord has to say, paying attention to what the Lord is saying, with a receptive heart to learn from the Lord's teaching, learn what is in the heart of the Lord, to learn to identify with Him what is important to the Lord. And this, if you read through carefully, you'll find Mary was like that. And it will also help her further her relationship with the Lord and her knowledge of God, deepen her understanding and knowledge of the truth. So learn to have a heart like Mary at all times, and especially when we read the Bible and when there's preaching, teaching of the truth, when there are opportunities for us to learn from the Lord, know our priorities, pay attention. And the concluding note I put there is John chapter 12 tells us this Mary was the one who brought a servile, poured the costly perfume on the Lord Jesus as a sincere expression of deep love and devotion to the Lord. It's to tell us that this Mary, she understood the things that really matter. And at that point in time, when she poured the perfume of the Lord Jesus, was deeply appreciated of the Lord Jesus, preparing for his burial, she had some sensitivity of what was appropriate and the impending death of the Lord, because she was paying attention to the Lord Jesus, identified the Lord Jesus, what was in his heart.